You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for this opportunity. This is the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live today from Maryville, Tennessee. I'm joined every week, thanks be to God, by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. Again, this can't get any greater. We're so grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. And we're truly blessed to be alive at this time. The saints envy us if they could envy. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And I'm going to take a few lines from our Blessed Mother's Magnificat, taken from Luke 1, 46 through 50. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowliness of the Almighty Servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. All of this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Where I actually paused, Mother, is something we can articulate and emulate and repeat often. We can say that in humility, in true humility. Because remember, Jesus says confidence is the main ingredient in humility. So if we're confident in what we know, we can be humble about it. We don't have to go around proving it. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Our Blessed Mother stated that. We can state the same thing because he's given us the greatest gift. He's given us the greatest gift that he's ever given to mankind. And Father Anuzzi actually articulates that it's the greatest gift that he can give to mankind. Not that we're limiting God, but that God is giving all of himself. There's nothing greater than that in this gift of living the divine will. But it does take faith. It does take faith. It takes a leap into the extraordinary, which the Son of My Will states in the conclusion. The Son of My Will is the biography of Luisa Picaretta, published by the Vatican Publishing Company back in 2015. So again, everything is set for this beautiful outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this new and divine way of holiness that St. Pope John Paul II spoke of, among others. And we're right in the midst of it. And we're all in this together, right, Mother?
That's right. Yes, we are. Yes, we have to just really try to live this great gift that God's given us more and more. It's such an important thing for this day and age, you know, because everything that we do in divine will is more and more, as we live in it more and more, we're touching every soul throughout the world, and the world is changing. More and more people getting involved in the divine will. And I know it's touching people everywhere. And although you see a lot of evil things in the world, good is getting better. People are growing in holiness. They're growing in faith. Today, this afternoon, we're going to an ordination of a deacon. He was an Episcopalian, or what do you call it? Not Episcopalian.
He was an Episcopalian priest.
Well, it wasn't Episcopalian. It was the
Anglican.
Well, I guess they're the same.
Yeah, they're the same.
He was an Anglican priest, and he's married with four children. And Pope Benedict has allowed them to come into the church, and Pope Francis has continued that. And so he's becoming a Catholic. He's becoming a deacon today, and in 6 months he will become a priest. And Father Elijah yesterday went to a dinner with some of his family and friends, and he said these people were just really fantastic. All over, Anglicans and Episcopalians are coming into the Catholic Church because of the stand in the Episcopalian and church, that they're accepting more and more homosexuals and gay marriages, one-sex marriages. So, you know, the Lord is working in the church. More and more people coming to the Catholic Church, and they're coming with such knowledge and the faith, and they're on fire for the Lord. I think we're going to go to that ordination this afternoon. I think we'll be able to share the divine will with a lot of people because he says they're so down to earth and so beautiful and so friendly and happy and joyful. And I thought, well, you know, I'll just bring my paper and pen with me today and take a lot of emails down and send the volumes to a lot of these people. So great things are happening in the church. So although so we see a lot of bad things, great things are happening right now. We have to be so grateful to the Lord for all the grace that's come into the world right now, especially with this great gift of living in His divine will. And in order to get there, we just really have to do, like I say every week, do acts and rounds and divine will. That's where it's at. The more we do acts and rounds and divine will, the more after a while we don't even have to think about it. It just becomes so much a part of us that we're living in it continually. And you see and that your life is changing. How do we know that this is from God? You judge it by the fruit. And the fruit is, as you read it more and more, and as you try to live in it more and more, you're growing in holiness, you're growing in peace and in joy, you're loving people more, you're putting up and bearing with crosses in a better way. People are not offending you so much anymore. You're growing in humility and littleness and realizing your nothingness. You know, it goes from being little to being nothing. Being humble, being little, and being nothing. Nothing is greater than humility and littleness, because if you're little, you're still something. But when we realize our nothingness, and the only way we can do that is by calling God into everything we do, and we shrink, and He gets bigger in us, and we realize we are nothing, and He is everything. It's so important that we do that. But how do we get there? We're creatures of habit. We have to get in the habit. Get in the habit of doing your acts and rounds and divine will, thinking of Jesus throughout the day. You think of Him more and more and more, you're going to become a very happy person. We think of ourselves, we become more and more miserable. We get depressed, you know. So think of Him. And the way to think of Him is even when you pray and realize He's praying in you. He's thinking in you. He's breathing in you. He's walking in you. He's speaking in you. And the more you do that, the more you recall Him into everything and knowing that He's living in you. He's doing everything in and through you anyway, because He lives within you. But He wants you to realize His presence. Realize the reality of that more and more. And that's what the divine will teaches us to do. It's all about God loving us and us returning that love to Him. It's such a beautiful thing. I was just reading here in volume 11, November 1st, 1915. My life, you know that I have nothing. And whatever I do, I take from you and I leave it to you again, so that my things remaining in you may have continuous action and life in you, while I remain always a nothing. So I take your love, I make it my own, and I tell you, I love you with an eternal and immense love, with a love that has no limits and no end, and that is equal to yours. And he goes on further to say in volume 12, June 14th, 1917, my daughter, the more the soul strips herself of herself, the more I clothe her with myself. The more she believes she can do nothing, the more I act in her. And I do everything. I feel all my love, my prayers, my reparations, etc., being placed in action by the creature. And to give honor to myself, I listen to what she wants to do. Does she want to love? I go to her and love together with her. Does she want to pray? I pray together with her. In sum, her stripping and her love, which is mine, bind me and force me to do with her whatever she wants to do. And I give to the soul the merit of my own love, of my prayers and reparations. To my highest contentment, I feel my life being repeated, and I make the effects of my work descend for the good of all, because it is not of the creature who is hidden in me, but it is mine. So we have to realize it is Him doing everything in and through us. It's not us. When we call Him into our activities, we're saying, Jesus, you do it for me. You know, and he's relived each one of our lives to perfection. So what we're doing is we're calling into our actions what He's already done to us in a perfect way, all of our activities. And He's doing it for us, and He's giving it to the Eternal Father as if we did it. He's going to do it. And He gives it to the Eternal Father as if we did it. So we get all the merit for all eternity as if we have done those acts, which were eternal acts because they were done by Jesus, who is divine, and divine acts are eternal. They have no beginning, no end. So what a great gift this is. Even when you're putting your I love yous on things, you desire it, but Jesus does it for you. And it's as if you did it. So everything that you put your I love you on, desire to put it on, it shouts out to the Eternal Father from all eternity, from you Jesus did it for you, but it comes from you. I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. What a great gift that is, that we just desire these things and Jesus does it for us. But we get the credit for it. We get all the merit for it. But he did it. And because he did it, it's a divine act, an eternal act. Whereas all the things that we do in human acts have a beginning and an end. It ends. So that's why the world is changing, because so many people are doing acts and rounds and divine will. And it's going around the world, changing every heart and every soul according to how much they're open to the grace. So we have to be so grateful and just don't waste time. Like you told Louisa, losing one act and one round in divine will is a great loss, because it's something God does. And whatever God does is fantastic. It's immense.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you know, Mother, our growth is really predicated also on our response. You know, God showers us with mystical gifts. He showers us with these truths. He appeals to our intellect, and we talked about this on many programs. You know, the source of information comes in through our intellect. Hopefully, it resides in our memory, and then through grace, again through another conglomerate of mystical gifts, God can take that knowledge that from our intellect and convert it to wisdom. And that's how that transmutation that Jesus talks about, the changing of one from within, one inside and outside. It's not greater than a transformation. So that's what he's doing. I mean, how else can he make us anew? How else can he bring us back to that prelapsarian era of Adam? Again, this is all, we're in the school of Mary. We're in the playground. This is the greatest schoolyard do-over in the history of mankind. God is saying, okay, time out. You're going to lose everything shortly. It's either now or never. And again, that's why he's really allowing, you know, the wheat and the thistle to be together for all this time. Hopefully that the wheat can rub off on the thistle, and hopefully not the thistle rub off on the wheat, but giving everyone that opportunity to exercise their free will. The time is now. I mean, it's time to take sides. And if we do nothing, we're actually a neutral position, would be on the other side of God, not with God. We have to give our fiat. And that's exactly what he's teaching us. And like you said, Mother, our participation, which we're going to be judged on and given the grace commensurate to it, is very simple. He said he had to make it simple. What did he say? We read it to nauseam. He said in volume 11, September 25th, 1913, he said, "My daughter, Louisa," and to us, "I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of living in the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. It had to be accessible in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place." I mean, end quote. I mean, that's for everybody, except if they don't want it. So again, like you said, Mother, this is not difficult. This is not difficult. And you know, the saints in the past, many outside of Louisa, have received inklings of the divine will, you know, general knowledge, as Jesus talks about. But she was given the utmost particular knowledge. And we can get that particular knowledge also with the tools that he's given us. He's given us the writings in text, in audio. I know your website you have it, Mother, ours, queenofthedivinewill.org. We have it. It's all free. You can print it out. You can download it. And I highly recommend also to everyone, if you're constantly relying only on your computer, which I know many of us do, we don't have printed material, you may want to consider printing out the really important things to do with your faith and your life, especially with the divine will, and keep that in safekeeping, just in case, you know, something or people with nefarious reasons, you know, co-opt the internet and we don't have access. So just be mindful of that. Print out what you need and what you really want to treasure. So in the event of an outage, we have what we need. But again, everything that we need is going to reside in our heart anyway. Right, Mother?
Right. It's good to have a hard copy of the books, and you can get it from Blanc Printing, because you never know when you're not going to have internet anymore. So you might want to purchase. It's not that expensive. We spend money on a lot of frivolous things that we don't really need. Right. This is something you really need. So I think Blanc Printing, the phone number is 412-221-6400. That's 412-221-6400. I'm sure Peter probably has it on his website. If you want to buy the books, I think it's like $140, $150 for all 36 volumes, and Our Lady's book, the Passion book, the Letters of Louisa, all that comes together. So I think I encourage you to get that. It's a good translation. It's easy to, it's a spiral bound, which is nice. Mm-hmm. It's a good book that you can make marks in, you know, so I encourage you to get that, you know, treat yourself to a little Christmas gift here. That's true. Buying yourself the books, you know, and you can also get the calendar books too from there if you want to read by month. Everything is all of what Louisa wrote is put in, like in January, everything in one book, everything in February, another book. So some people like the calendar book. You can get both, you know, if you can afford it, get both. I encourage you to get both.
Mm-hmm. Right. Another option too, Mother, a lot less expensive. Again, I love that also. That idea of having hard copies, but you can also download things on a thumb drive. Remember, thumb drive doesn't need internet to operate or to retrieve. So, and they're so inexpensive. Now, you can get a terabyte for like $10, $15, and a terabyte would fit all the volumes, all the writings of Louisa. You'd have it all on a little bit of the thumb drive. So,
yeah, put a Kindle app too, a Kindle app on your
Kindle
phone.
App too. Yeah, absolutely.
I've got all of mine on a Kindle app on a phone. It's not even used as a phone. You don't need internet for that. I don't use it for internet by this phone. It's just I have my books and everything on the Kindle app on there. So I encourage you to do that. But you know, time is so precious to us and how much time we waste. So time is precious. Every minute is a gift from God to us, and we can either waste that minute or use it wisely. I encourage you to use it wisely and try to live more and more in His divine will every minute of your life, every moment of your life, whether it's reading or praying or just in everything you do. Every your whole day can be a prayer in divine will, because everything you're doing, calling God into all your activities, is a prayer. You're praying always, no matter what you're doing. And you have to think about what you're doing, yes. You're cooking, you have to think about the recipe or whatever. But right before you start, you say, Jesus, come do this in me. And after a while, the more and more that you do that, it becomes a way of life and you don't have to think about it anymore. It just happens. It's a reality. You're living in divine will all the time and you're finding yourself always at peace, not thinking of yourself so much anymore, but always dwelling with God, being in God. He's in us and we're in Him. We fuse ourselves in Him totally. And the more we live in divine will. So I encourage you to just don't waste time. Try to live for Him every moment of your life, because if we understood who and what God is, the reality of God, we would not waste any time. We'd want to live for Him totally every moment of our lives.
That's right. Actually, we have proof of that. The souls in purgatory through church-approved mystics have articulated the fact that if they had a regret, their regret would not have been making better use of the time that they had while on earth. Again, we look at that. We can't invent hours in the day. There's only 24 hours, but we can make better use of it. We, to your point, Mother, you said earlier, we have so much, I think, frivolous time that if we just started carving away a little bit at a time, you'd be easily able to free up at least an hour a day for adoration or perhaps or for reading or listening to the divine will. Again, the TV is probably the biggest nemesis. And again, if you can't do cold turkey, that's okay. If you're listening to 3 hours or watching 3 hours of TV, cut it down to two, then cut it down to one. Before you know it, you're going to lose your appetite. Jesus tells us that if we cooperate and we respond, He's going to change our palate. He's going to change these bad habits that we're in. He's going to help us break them. You know, it's like, if you're a smoker for 30, 40 years, it's very difficult to kick the habit, so to speak, and to stop smoking. You need help. You need grace. God says, I'll do the same thing for you. If you're addicted to the internet, if you're addicted to this or that, I'm going to free you. But of course, always keep the internet on if you're listening to Radio Maria or visiting Mother's website.
That's what's soaking up so much time. People always looking at the phones, always texting each other. You know, it's really, dissipating spiritually. We recreation is important. We have an hour of recreation in the evening. A lot of times we like to watch some little movie, nice movie, something that will lift us up to God. A lot of the lives of the saints, we have movies on saints, scriptural movies. We have beautiful things that we watch, very moral things. But if we don't watch more than an hour. If it's a 2 hour movie, we watch 1 hour one night and the next hour, an hour the next night. So, you know, be careful with the television, because you can get very easily to television addicted to it, and also the computer. You know, if you keep on corresponding with people, they'll keep corresponding with you. But just so many people you can correspond with, and you have to limit that if you want to live your life for God, you know, because your time can all be soaked up in social activities.
Right. Yeah. Be prudent on our time. Very, very good advice. Hello, Sister Magdalena.
Hello, Peter. Hello, everybody. Happy New Year.
God, blessed New Year to you, too.
Yes, thank you. Well, I was just listening. I enjoyed listening to your conversation with Mother and you, and so many things come on to mind, and I don't even know where to begin, because, you know, when you know a lot about the divine will, everything is really beautiful. I mean, you can talk about peace, you can talk about grace, you can talk about everything, and if you put that into God's perspective, all is well, all is beautiful. I mean, our hearts, our minds, you mentioned, Peter, about the gifts of intellect, memory, even our human will, all of these are gifts. And these are all supposed to be returned to God with love. But we feel that with so much noise, like Mother mentioned about social media, you know, all this noise in the world, and we fill our minds and our hearts with those, that we no longer appreciate the gift that God has given us, our intellect, our memory, our human will. Human will is not bad. It's only bad when you use it by itself. I was listening to a talk between Father Chris Ayler and Daniel O'Connor, and they were talking about, you know, about the divine will. Basically, because at this point, I don't know when was this done, but there was a conversation talk with between them, and Father Chris Ayler, he was acting kind of like the devil's advocate, meaning to say he was sort of kind of like taking the sides of those skeptics. And so, and Daniel O'Connor is the one that was the one that was going to answer those questions. And I enjoyed it tremendously. And I learned a lot, because there's so many negativity out there. And Mother, you know, of course, we encourage everyone to read the divine will. I mean, reading the books themselves are rich. We don't really need anybody else to tell us how to interpret it, because if we really trust in God and we have faith in Him, Jesus comes to us and He will give us knowledge and understanding. But that doesn't mean, you know, that we have only our own, because that could also turn against us. It could make us proud. So we are also encouraging everybody to listen to one another, because everybody has a gift. But true, I mean, there were questions in there, and I really learned a lot, because there were so many questions in very good questions that those who oppose the divine will, they have good intentions, though. They have, I think this is how church should be. If you don't understand, if there's something that troubles you, you can't just believe in everything that is out there. You have to ask these questions. And so I don't consider these doubters and questions, you know, as a bad thing. In fact, they are good, because they can clarify anything that gives it cloud, right, Peter? So I encourage you to find those on YouTube. I don't remember the name of the program. But I was listening to you, and you mentioned, Mother mentioned, you mentioned about the living in the divine will. And my meditation happened to be about peace. Because one of the indications, one of the signs that we will know that we live in the divine will is also having peace in all that we do, in all that we are, what's going on. Anything can be happening around us, internally and externally, whatever it is. When we live in the divine will, God takes up everything, and He gives us this gift of peace. So I'll read to you this passage from Volume 6, September 9, 1904. My daughter, as soon as the soul goes out of the depths of peace, so does she go out of the divine sphere and finds herself either in the diabolical or in the human sphere. This really stood out to me, because, so in other words, if we lose peace, you can ask yourself, is this diabolical or this is my human will? You know, it's not always diabolical. Most of the time probably is human will. Diabolical, I think what happens is that when we expose ourselves to demonic, you know, activities. Now, that's a different story, but I think most of us experience mostly human will. It is peace alone that reveals whether the soul seeks God for God or for herself, whether she operates for God or for herself or for creatures. In fact, if she does it for God, the soul is not disturbed. It can be said that the peace of God and the peace of the soul combine together, and the boundaries of peace expand around the soul in such a way that everything converts into peace, even wars themselves. But if the soul is disturbed, be it even in the holiest things, it shows that after all, it was not for God, but for her own self, or for some human purpose. Therefore, when you do not feel calm, call yourself back a little bit to see what really is in there. Then destroy it and you will find peace. So I meditated on this. How do we know that we are doing in the divine will or we're living in the divine will is when we lose peace. You know, a lot of us are so excited about the divine will and we want to do things. We want to do great things for God and I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do this. But then, and then we get disturbed. We get out of sort. Then we need, what it says here is step back, because maybe we have to reflect on what really is going on in our hearts. Are we doing this because this is God's will that God wants us to do, or is this human will, even if it's holy, even if it be in, you know, like, oh, I'm going to do this, but maybe we're doing it beyond our capacity, or maybe we're doing this, which is not yet in accordance to our situation in life. If you have little children or if it's responsibilities and you want to do this and you leave your family life, but you do this, then you lose peace. There's distractions in the family. There's broken relationship. Then that, even though what you're doing is holy, it may not be what God intended. So then you lose peace, you see? So this is the difference between what God says, if this is human will or this is God's will. So, and if there is a distraction or there's disturbances in ourselves, we lose peace. It says here to step back. Step back for a little bit, pause and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What I do actually, you know, because like you said, Peter, with the more, and Mother also, the more we read the books and the more we really call God in faith, trusting his words and calling him to do these acts in us, acts and rounds in us, Lord, think in my thinking, do acting, and doing this all day long, it transmutes. It's not only transforms, but it transmutes, which is a higher level, right, Peter? And so when this happens, I would, for myself, for my own experience, I'm not living in the fourth degree. I don't claim that at all. I still have a lot of things to work in me, but I do notice myself that I have less disturbances when things don't go my way. Because here's what I do, practical applications for myself, and I don't know if it works for you, but before things happen, before I do things, I always say, Lord, I feel this movement in my heart. There is this desire and I don't want to do my will, Lord. I make it clear to me. I want you to do this thinking and this desire in me. I want my desire to be united with yours. So you act in prudence. You're not being lazy. You're not trying to be delaying or disobedient. But you know you're not. I know I am not strong. I know I am weak. And I know I have my pride and all these things I want to do for God. But I know I am impatient too. So to step back and say, Lord, I want you to really make this clear to me. That's an act of prudence. And I think God wants us to be prudent because we want to make sure that this is in accordance to his will. And if I'm able to do this, if my circumstance in life is coincided with this. And then in my own experience, God puts signs, you know, in my religious community, it's through my superiors and through my sisters. And things come in the right way and God points you there. You know, and thank goodness, you know, with Mother, sometimes Mother says something, I'm like, okay, so this is God's will for me. Because Mother says that, I mean, of course, you know, Mother knows me now because I live with her for eight years. And with you and your family, you know, when you are in this intimate relationships with your family or whatever, you get to know the person and you get to know the tendencies. And so, you know, respect each other and understanding each other, this creates peace. And also, but most importantly, doing God's will and living in God's will.
Just really quickly, Sister, because we're coming up on the break. I'm sorry, okay. But you know, you mentioned about the balance. I mean, about everything, you know, in its proper proportion. I mean, God is the master chef. He's the master cook. His ingredients are the best. He explains to us what ingredients are necessary for an ardent desire for everything that he's giving us. Mm. Now, the great news is we just read that Jesus says this is simple. This has to be available to everyone, unless they don't want it. And that's also articulated in one of Father Annunzio's books, The Splendor of Creation, where he states, immediate entry is available. Anyone, quote, anyone in the state of grace can immediately experience God's eternal mode, end quote. That's exactly what God says. Anyone. He made this available to everyone. So what are we waiting for? Mm-hmm. Go to confession. Use the great sacrament of reconciliation. Be in the state of grace. Say, okay, I'm here, Lord, take me. And he's going to take him on the greatest ride in the history of mankind, in the history of our lives, the gift of living the divine world. We finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Radio Maria. I want to also mention today is the glorious feast day of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, first U.S. born, I believe, canonized saint. And Great quote she has. One of her quotes I'd just like to read right now, and something we can articulate also. This is from St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. Quote, "Oh my God, forgive what I have been, correct what I am, and direct what I shall be." End quote. Again, it's that's that transmutation that Mother and Sister Magdalena were speaking about. And, you know, it's all a process. It could be quick. It could be long. Again, mystical gifts are given unequally, not like equally like our baptismal gifts. We know that. So, in other words, God can do what he wants, when he wants, to what extent he wants. And when we start to limit God and say, well, I don't know if he can do that, then we're in bigger trouble than we thought. Another thing, too, her last words, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton's last words were, quote, "I am going to light, to love, and to life." Very similar to what Jesus says. Jesus says the divine will is love, light, and life. Just rearrange the words. It's the same thing. It's actually beautiful. And last but not least, she was the foundress of Catholic schools, the foundress of that. And you know who also is the foundress of homeschooling? It's our Blessed Mother. Remember, our Blessed Mother homeschooled Jesus. In fact, in the approved writings of Maria Valtorta, in her book, there's a quote from our Blessed Mother that states, quote, "I will never send Jesus to school," end quote. Because see, about 100 years before Jesus is born, the Pharisees set up their schooling system, sort of an indoctrination, their way only, not looking outside the breadth, not the fullness of their faith. And sort of similar to what we're experiencing today with the corruption in the school system. Not all schools, but the vast majority are politically charged and controlled by a small group of people that sometimes have nefarious reasons. So back to you, Sister Magdalena. Oh, I think you're muted, Sister.
Okay. Briefly mention the YouTube that I talk about, Father Chris Eller and Daniel O'Connor. You can go look him up. The Divine Will, Is It Legitimate? Explaining the Faith with Father Chris Eller. Again, The Divine Will, Is It Legitimate? Explaining the Faith with Father Chris Eller. It's a beautiful the conversation they're doing.
Yeah, it's rhetorical, just like, for example, what Louisa experienced when she was asking questions on behalf of us to Jesus, because she felt really bad at the end of her life. She says, "Jesus, I'm sorry, I had all these questions and doubts." And Jesus said, "Nope, they weren't yours. You were asking rhetorical questions so that I may have the opportunity to answer them, so that people may have the opportunity to read them and to listen to them." So everything in the fullness of time, as Jesus uses that beautiful articulation. Sister, this is Gloria.
Hi, how are you? Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy to you.
And for the new year, I'd like to share about this constancy, that which is very important in living in the divine will. This is from volume 7, January 30th, 1906. Constancy orders everything. Continuing in my usual state, Blessed Jesus came for just a little and told me, "My daughter, how necessary it is that the soul be constant in doing the good which she has started. In fact, though she has a beginning, she will have no end. And not having an end, it is necessary that she conform to the ways of the eternal God. God is just, is holy, is merciful. He is the one who contains everything, but perhaps only for one day. No, always, always, always. In the same way, the soul must not be patient, humble and obedient one day, and impatient, proud and capricious another day. These are broken virtues. It is like mixing black and white, light and darkness. Everything is disorder. Everything is confusion. Ways which are completely dissimilar to her creator. In this soul, there is continuous war, because passions wage war against her. In fact, in seeing themselves being nourished so very often, they hope that victory is theirs. Demons, creatures, and even virtues themselves, in seeing themselves disappointed, wage a fierce war against her, and end up nauseating her. If these souls are saved, well, how much work the fire of purgatory will have to do. Our human nature is not constant. And one day we can be like, we can try to be humble or kind, but one day, another day, we can be very impatient, we can be upset. But God wants us to be constant always, just like God, by living in the divine will. And I was thinking, how can we be constant in the in this virtue, in the living in the divine will? And what came to my mind was the humility, because we gotta do everything for God, to please God, to serve God. That way we don't have to strive to be loved by other people. Then it wouldn't matter if somebody talks about us, or we don't have to look, you know, the fruits of our work or our endeavors, because it requires the self-denial truly, and then sacrifice. Like, for example, Saint Teresa of Lisieux, she was always calm and peaceful. She never answered or hastily, you know, even, you know, when somebody just comes up to you, like, ask you to do something when you're busy, we try to do things like, we just respond very hastily, not in a pleasant way. But the Saint Lisieux, Teresa, she was always calm and peaceful in every way. I mean, of course, we have different personalities and different backgrounds and different, you know, idiosyncrasies, but it can cause like small misunderstandings. But really, these are the, you know, these difficulties in our life. It really helps us to bloom the flower of charity in our life. And when we just overcome these difficulties, and we, it will help us to always to stay in that calmness, which is God's virtue, divine virtue. And we always just try to lead the souls to God, not towards us. Don't try to pull them to ourselves, but to God. And if really it is our self-sacrifice and prayer. And Saint Teresa of Lisieux, she really liked to be criticized. She actually liked to be ordered by everybody. You know, when everything goes the way we want, we're happy. But something doesn't go the way we want, then we become sad and depressed. But that's not the true virtue, because true virtue is that we humble ourselves under everyone, and be happy when somebody is criticizing us. Like when we think of humility, like we say, oh yes, I know, like I lack of these, I have this flaws, but it is not like really true humility. But true humility is that, like, to be joyful when somebody else also thinks the same way and criticize you, but still take that with heavenly joy. That's the true humility. And one time, Saint Teresa of Lisieux, she produced a play, but everybody was criticizing it because it was too long and it was stopped in the middle. And her sister, she saw her like crying, weeping behind the scene. But then immediately she, you know, wiped her tears away, and then she became just calm and peaceful, but still stayed in that criticism. So because she knew, and because she was so humble, humble enough to accept everything, all the criticisms, not only from the superiors, but also from the, like, postulants and novices that she was teaching. She was just taking that everything with the heavenly joy, and then she just stayed in it, and she never scolded them. I mean, if it's something fair or constructive, it's easy to accept their criticism, but if not, you know, it is very difficult to take that. But Saint Teresa, she advised that, you know, actually it is better, because there's no reason to blame us. And also we can offer these to happily to God. And also we can also become humble, just thinking that we could have, you know, commit this sin. So really, humility is the truth, and it really helps us to see who we are and who God is. And it helps us to empty ourselves. And in that nothingness, we can truly be absorbed in God, who is truly everything. So it also remind me of Jesus before in the during the Last Supper when he humbled himself. He knelt down before, you know, the before all the disciples at the feet of them, and then he washed their feet. And even though Jesus was God the Son, he humbled himself in order to clean the feet, which is the dirtiest part of the body. And he said that, do this, I mean, to serve others. I'm doing this so that you can serve others, just like I am doing this to you. And also at the Calvary, after at the Calvary, the Roman soldiers, so in a rude way, they commanded Jesus to lie on the cross, and he immediately followed their command, and he laid himself on the cross because he was doing the will of God, because he was doing everything, taking everything as the will of God. So, I mean, a person, a saint, can reach this perfection of charity, but living in the divine will is asking us to go further, like to really think of what Jesus did, you know, his virtue. And when we think of his virtue, the God's humility, when we meditate on this, then it becomes like easier to really to allow us to be humble, to be criticized, and really to stay in that nothingness, because really humility is the truth, and it helps us to grow in many many other virtues, and it helps us to be constant in living in the divine will. So please remember and think of meditate, try to meditate this God's humility, how he humbled himself, and it will help us to grow in virtues.
Yes, I'm remembering also what Jesus said. Jesus' confidence is the main ingredient in humility, knowing that we know and knowing that we know that we know. And again, we only get that by meditating and allowing God's grace to sit in us. You know, one more quote from St. Elizabeth Ann Seton in her feast day today. She says also, quote, without prayer, I should be of little service. This union of my soul with God is my wealth, end quote. See, wealth comes in a myriad of different ways. Some of us are blessed financially to be wealthy. Some of us are spiritually wealthy, some are both. But this wealth is not necessarily bad. It's actually very good, depending on how it's used. So we're going to appeal to everyone else. Actually, we're changing the time of the appeal. I usually do it at the bottom of the hour, but I thought that we're not getting the response I thought, but perhaps everyone said in the comfort room, so we're going to do it now. So please, if you can, if you've got the wherewithal to be generous with Radio Maria, spiritually, of course, we love that. Financially, it's also necessary in this world as we operate against the grain. So please, if you can, go to radiomaria.us or simply call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201. Once again, 888-408-0201. Please be generous if you can. The great thing here is God knows what we can or cannot do. So if we can't do it, he understands. If we can do it, we're not. I'll leave that to be. But please, 888-408-0201. We're also going to offer a relic prayer card for anyone making a donation, whether it be a one-time or reoccurring monthly. This is a relic card of Luisa, prayer card that has a piece of Luisa's clothing. Incredible. I can't believe that you would not want this. You know, veneration of this is, it's in scripture. Perhaps it may even started with the hemorrhaging woman who touched the tassel of our Lord. And she was healed. It was her faith, actually, that healed her, but they used the vehicle, the tassel. Wouldn't you say so, Sister Jacinta? I'm sorry.
Just wanted to share a quick, a short quote by St. Augustine. He referred to this one while he was saying in a sermon on the First John. And then it was paraphrased as this, love God and do whatever you please. You know, like when we think of what is will of God, but then I mean, if you love God, then you will do nothing to offend one who is beloved. So do not be scrupulous, or, you know, try to find what's the will of God in everything, but just live our life in our daily life in every moment. Just love God and don't worry about whether we are doing the will of God.
Right. He also says, if you want to see the will of God, look around. It's right now. It's right where God has you. And again, he looks for our response. Sister Jacinta?
Yes. So as Mother said earlier, it's so important to not waste time and to just realize just the preciousness of all these acts around us we do in the divine will. And the more we read the divine will knowledges, the more we like masticate it, the more we chew on it thoroughly, making it like milk and honey for our souls, then the better we'll understand it. And the more power acts and rounds in the divine will we'll have. So recently I was thinking about the part of the Glory Be to the Father prayer that said world without end. And I know that there's some versions that say will be forever instead of world without end, and other versions that said world without end. So I just felt really inspired by the Holy Spirit to just look up what the divine will says. And then in volume 19, March 2nd, 1926, Jesus tells Louisa like to say the Glory Be, and she does that. And then as she's saying the Glory Be prayer, she's seeing like the mystical part of it. Like, for example, when she said Father, she saw the creative power flowing everywhere, and in the word Son, she saw all the works of the Word, and in the word Holy Spirit, she saw all things being invested with the speaking, operative, and vivifying love. And that just reminds me, and also yesterday was the Feast of the Holy Name of Jesus, like the power of these words, even the Our Father prayer, like, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. That's a promise that our Lord gave to all humanity. So Jesus tells us through Louisa why he wanted her to say the Glory Be. My daughter, Louisa, do you know why it was your turn to say the second part of the Glory Be? Since my will is in you, it befitted you to bring the earth up to heaven in order to give in the name of all, together with the celestial court, that glory which will never end, world without end. Eternal things which never end can be found only in my will, and one who possesses it is in communication with heaven. This soul takes part in everything they do in the celestial regions, and she is as though an act together with the celestial blessed. So when we do acts around in the divine will, it's not just these are eternal acts. They're not limited like human acts. And whenever we do these acts in the divine will, we're also though an act together with those in heaven. And also connecting with this passage is volume 31, December 6, 1932, where Jesus tells us how valuable an act done in the divine will is. And when I read this, it really just helped remind me like the value of our acts. And sometimes you get tempted or feel like the devil's whispering to you like, oh, your acts in the divine will, they don't have much value or something, like as a temptation. But those are all like temptations the devil's giving, so you won't persevere. But if you just remember what Jesus told Louisa about how powerful these acts are, even though we can't see, it's like what Jesus tells St. Thomas. Blessed are those who do not see but believe. And actually, when we don't see like mystical things in a way, we get more merit from that because we have faith. So Jesus tells us through Louisa, my daughter, you cannot understand the complete value that an act done in my divine will contains. So much is its value, its greatness, that the same creature who has done it cannot enclose it completely inside of her. She is filled, and not being able to contain it, it overflows outside and runs in the same immensity of the eternal fiat. So everything we do, it just runs in. It just continues in eternity. And then after we die, God will allow us to see all the effects of our acts and rounds. And the beautiful thing about the divine will acts and rounds is that we don't just do it for ourselves, but for all souls, past, present, and future, and making reparation. And in this way, we really give God to God. And also living in the divine will is how we can like truly worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
Amen. Mother, we've got about a minute. Any closing thoughts? Yeah, go so fast.
Keep doing acts and rounds in the divine will. I'll just read one little thing here. I think we'll just take a minute. Volume 12, August 14th, 1917. One who lives in the divine will finds it impossible to do things by himself. Even more, he feels nausea for his human works, though holy, because in the divine will, all things, even the smallest ones, take on a divine look. They acquire nobility, splendor, divine sanctity, divine power and beauty. They multiply to infinity. And in one instant, one does everything. And after he has done everything, he says, I have done nothing. Jesus did. And this is all my contentment, that miserable as I am, Jesus gave me the honor to keep me in the divine will, to let me do what he himself has done. Therefore, the enemy cannot bother this child, whether he has done well or badly, little or much, because Jesus himself did everything. And he, together with Jesus, he is the most peaceful one. He is not subject to anxiety. He loves no one and loves everyone, but divinely. One can say that he is the repeater of the life of Jesus, the organ of his voice, the heartbeat of his heart, the sea of his graces. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, thank you. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Thank you, Mother and Sisters, for this enlightening time. Again, anyone in the state of grace can enter into this gift, every divine truth that's given to us, the knowledges, our new lives. And remember, Jesus cautions us, don't be despaired. All those who have acquired these knowledges, whether in full or even in part, may have the noble title of children of the kingdom. End quote. We don't have to know it all. That'll happen later. Thanks be to God. Love everyone. God willing, we'll be back next Thursday. Thank you, Mother. Love you all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Radio Maria podcasts. It's thanks to listeners like you who donate that enable us to continue delivering quality content to listeners around the world. If you'd like to contribute and help us keep spreading the message of Our Lady's Son, please consider making a donation. You can reach us at 888-408-0201 or simply visit our donations tab on our website at radiomaria.us. Your generosity truly makes a difference. This has been a Radio Maria production.